Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Cambridge License Commission, Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. It's at 3 p.m. We're at 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Ferrer, Chief Gerard Mahoney, and Commissioner Granville Bard. If anyone is here for Almond Deep Incorporated doing business as Shalimar, that has been taken off the agenda. The transfer application has been submitted. First matter, violation hearing, Brightview Landscape Services, holder of a leaf blower permit 10043 for alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Ordinance 8.16.081.2A, operating during a prohibited period on August 17, 2017 at 21 Chauncey Street and September 7, 2017 at 16 Chauncey Street.
Brightview, second call.
Application, Poke for Me 2, LLC, doing business as Poke Works, has applied for a new common victualler license and entertainment license for background music at 1440 Mass Ave, with a seating capacity of 12 and proposed hours of 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. to 12 a.m. Thursday, 11:30 a.m. to 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. Nikki Sandoval is proposed manager of record of a premise described as 1,676 square feet, dining area, prep and service station on the first floor with kitchen and office in the basement.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Chief Mahoney, and Commissioner Bard. My name is James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 675 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. I'm appearing this afternoon on behalf of the applicant, Poke for Me 2 LLC. Seated to my far right is Brett Sigworth. Mr. Sigworth is a principal, S-I-G-W-R-T-H. He's a principal of the ownership entity. And seated to my immediate right is Ms. Sandoval, S-A-N-D-O-V-A-L. First name, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I.
Thank you. So. Mr. Rafferty, this is the extra check that you provided. I'm returning that to you.
Oh, such a pleasant way to begin a hearing.
Why don't you tell us what, is it Poke Works or Poke?
Poke.
Oh, Poke.
Poke. So,
tell us about Poke.
I arrive here full of culinary knowledge I didn't have before I represented the case. So poke, which I'm sure will come as no surprise to anyone here, is actually a Hawaiian fish product. It's somewhat analogous to sushi, I'm told, but I actually brought some. Because when we were at the BZA, they weren't, when it comes to matters of food, they're frankly not as enlightened as this commission. So we had to go slowly and explain it to them. But Poke Works has a operation in Davis Square in Somerville, which proved to be very popular. So Mr. Sigworth is looking to open a second location. This is a storefront at the corner of Mass Ave and Church Street, currently a holder of a common victual license operating as Liquiteria. Liquiteria is going to be vacating the premises. The applicant applied for and received a fast food special permit from the BZA back in a hearing in July. At that time, they also made an appearance before the Harvard Square Advisory Committee, as is required under that process. At the advisory committee, they brought food, but I discouraged them from doing so here. But it was another case of, frankly, providing some information, education about it. But it's a popular product. The floor plan depicts a 12-seat restaurant that will be open principally for lunch and dinner. One of the issues that came up at the advisory committee hearing was would the operator be willing to remain open later than is typically the case. So you'll note that the weekend hours do contain a request for a 2 a.m. closing. Candidly, in Davis Square, they're not open that late. And they're hoping that there's a demand for it. So that particular portion of the hours as requested is a reflection of feedback that was provided by the Harvard Square Advisory Committee in their review of the application. As I said, it's an existing fast food location. It's an existing licensed location. And given the nature of the product, there's a limited amount of cooking equipment. Most of the food, well, the principal food is not cooked, so for that reason, I know there are a few other, there's some form of cooking going on, but it's somewhat limited.
Sous vide machine.
Sous vide, yeah.
And the total occupancy, the proposed total occupancy is 18? Yeah.
Right, so that would presume some people could stand while they, or people would be ordering. The deliveries can be accommodated in a loading zone. There's a daily delivery of the fresh seafood. There are shared dumpsters on Palmer Street around the corner that the landlord provides for this and other food licensees. We suspect that's also where the auto dumpster is, but they reviewed with Liquiteria their trash disposal and delivery practices and would anticipate following those. That's essentially the basis.
Do you have a copy of the BCA decision?
Yep.
We have that.
Happy to.
Thank you.
So the decision was date stamped September 7th, so the appeal period on the decision will expire on the 27th of September.
Can you mark off whether you're serving lunch? I'm assuming you are.
Yes.
Hours. Thank you.
Is there a specific question? On?
Are you serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and lunch is not answered?
Lunch is, I see.
Thank you. And there's nothing in the BCA decision? Any limitations?
No, no restrictions. A straightforward decision. Conversation came up about hours, and we indicated that it was an issue that would be the subject of approval here, and they readily agreed that it was a issue best left to the jurisdiction of the license commission. So otherwise, there are no conditions attached to the BZA approval.
Thank you. Any questions?
I don't have any.
None.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I would
vote
to grant.
Thank you.
Granted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for your time.
Application HK Food Group LLC, doing business as Eldon and Harlow. Holder of a common victualler, all alcohol license at 40 Brattle Street, has applied for an alteration of premise description to include an additional two floors above the existing space. The premise description would be three floors, main entrances, exits on public walkway off Brattle Street, approximately 5,009 square feet. The square foot ground floor contains men's and women's restrooms, bar, dining area, kitchen, and storage. Approximately 1,150 square foot. First floor contains bar, dining area, kitchen, and prep station. 300 square foot seasonal patio on private property. Approximately 1,150 square foot. Second floor contains men's and women's restrooms, bar, dining area, and additional 200 square foot outdoor patio. An application has also been made to amend the DBA to Eldon and Harlow and the Longfellow Bar at Eldon and Harlow. Ground floor occupancy is 200. First floor occupancy is 45. Second floor occupancy is 45.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon again. James Rafferty appearing on behalf of the applicant, HK Food Group LLC. Seated to my immediate right is Michael Scelfo, S-C-E-L-F-O, and to Mr. Scelfo's right is Brian Lesser, L-E-S-S-E-R. In January of this year, we'll mark the four-year anniversary of the opening of the Eldon and Harlow restaurant. I'm sure the commission is familiar with it for the wide acclaim it's received in the community and beyond, both for its food product and the environment it has created there. Commissioners may recall that was the home from, it's been a licensed premises for decades. It was the former Casablanca restaurant. And on the second floor or above this restaurant for many years has been the Algiers Cafe. And the Algiers Cafe was the holder of a beer and wine license. I believe the license was surrendered in the springtime. They have vacated the space. It has provided an opportunity for Alden Hollow, which has proved to be very popular at that location, to expand and create an environment that's slightly different, and Mr. Scalfo can kind of share that with you in terms of how they envision the Longfellow Bar here. They're calling it the Longfellow Bar at Alden and Hollow. It will have a menu not as expansive as the full dining menu downstairs, but it will also provide an opportunity for, in some ways, more of perhaps a lounge-like setting. And in some ways, people might choose to have a cocktail there if they're waiting for their table. They may choose to go up there afterwards, but there's also, as you can see in the floor plan, there's a kitchen upstairs. Much of the prep work will occur in the downstairs kitchen, but the actual cooking of the meals that are served upstairs will be occurring in a kitchen upstairs. It is a single operation. It will be staffed all by the same operation. Mr. Scalfo will continue to be the manager of record. And what's proposed here is taking what is now a ground floor restaurant into a three-level restaurant. The existing ground floor, and then the Algier space is actually a two-level space. So there's a second floor, which would be considered the main floor, if you will, of the Longfellow Bar, and then above that there's a third floor space. Although the nomenclature in our plans reflects ground one and two. But it represents three levels, and the floor plan depicts the three levels. The hours of operation remain the same. The entertainment license, which is only background music, is unchanged. That remains the same. This is an opportunity to respond to the public need that's arisen with the success and high patronage at the Alden Hollow restaurant. They're a local operator. In the 4 years of operation, the commission records will show there's never been a complaint or a disciplinary matter brought before the commission. They're experienced operators who are eager to be able to continue providing an important restaurant opportunity in Harvard Square.
So right now, these operators, two different premises, two different businesses, how are you connecting them to be all one?
There are two points of physical connection. There's an elevator that goes from the ground floor up to the two floors above. And there's
the one that's on the front end of Alden? Mm-hmm. Sort of on, like, it looks like
yes,
a little
if
idea.
If you come in the side entrance, which is the principal entrance, next to the entrance to the Brattle Theater.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a vestibule there and an elevator. That elevator goes up to the two floors above. There's also a stairway in the premises. It is admittedly a more of a service stairway or a fire stairway, so it's not anticipated that members of the public would use that stairway, but that's how they will move food product from the downstairs kitchen to the upstairs kitchen.
And is the elevator going to be used by patrons?
Oh, yes. The elevator is for use by patrons. So it will serve as the handicap access to the upper floors, but also serve as the ability for patrons within the premises to go there. So if you were to come and simply were intent on going to the upper floor Longfellow Bar and you required assistance, you would use that elevator. By the same token, if you were dining and then finished your meal on the ground floor and wanted to go upstairs, you could access that elevator and go upstairs.
And then I see in the floor plan there's a mention of a patio, but there's no patio approved. It seems to be that the patio that's mentioned is with regard to the second floor. So I'm just not quite sure where that is.
So there's, I'll let them speak to it, but I understand the confusion. They're actually, Algiers had a ground floor patio on the side of the building, and that's proposed to remain, is it not?
Yeah, they had about 16 to 20 seats out there.
And our floor plan depicts that.
Yes, but not your premise description, does it? Or yes? Sorry, I apologize. And an additional that 200 square foot outdoor patio. Okay, okay.
Right.
And this is the one that, is this on public or private property?
Private property. It's a patio on the, it's on the side of the building. As you face the building, it's on the right-hand side.
12 feet, according to this plan?
Yes, it's 12 in that location, and it's also 12. And then there's a, and then on the second floor.
There's the roof deck, which is 12.
There's a deck that has, if you look at the plan at the second floor, it shows the 12 seats on that deck as well.
Okay. So, enlighten me. This is the first floor. These seats,
yes.
Are those in the interior or the exterior?
Exterior.
Exterior.
But your architect didn't put it on the floor plan. He only talks about interior capacity.
Those are seasonal seats.
He calls out first floor interior, correct? But
that's the total first floor interior.
Right.
When you add up 21, 4, and 20, that's 45. And then for the second floor, breaks it down: bar, dining, standing. Second floor interior, and then it has patio 12. Second floor total 45 as well. So it counts that quote unquote roof deck patio that you have on the second floor, but this. That's what I was confused. That's the patio I meant. What, I mean, where is it?
Where are those numbers depicted? On that plan, it appears that they are not identified there.
Okay. So we'll need an updated plan.
Updated plan to reflect this. Yeah, so.
And then. Okay. It is on, so you have the 300 square foot seasonal patio on private property on the first floor. Those are those 12.
That's right.
Correct.
That don't appear on the plan. And then the 200 square foot outdoor patio, which is sort of the roof deck, and those are the ones.
Right.
On the plan.
The use of the word patio, I think, might be slightly confusing because one is more of a patio traditionally being an on-grade feature. So there's a patio, and then the architect referred to the second floor deck also as a patio. And I suppose
so how about we change that premise description on the second floor to an additional 200 square foot outdoor deck?
If you count all these seats up, they total 45. This was a typo on the legend.
Okay, we'll just hear the chat. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Why don't we change the second floor, the outdoor area, why don't we call it the 200 square foot outdoor deck rather than a patio?
I think that would be helpful.
Okay. And then the seasonal patio on private property, although I don't have.
But Mr. Scalfo was saying that seating on the plan, that those 12 seats are depicted in.
Can I speak?
By all means.
Okay. I think it's just a mistype from the design architecture firm. Brian just pointed out to me that if you total up the number of seats on the bottom, including the exterior patio, it totals up that 45 number. I think they just miscalculated. They didn't add that. They just lumped it into one category on their legend on the side there, but it is 45 seats total. This is if you count them up.
So if you count every seat on that floor.
Plus the patio, I think it totals 45.
That makes sense, because if you look at the bar, it says 21. If you look at the chef's table, it says 4. So that would suggest 25 on the interior. He's saying 45 on the interior.
Right.
Yeah. But what he's calling interior seating is actually the exterior patio.
Well, no, I disagree.
Okay.
He has 21 on the bar, which is exactly what's on the
right
on the plan. Then he has 4 at the chef's table, which is exactly what's on the plan. And then he has 20 people standing inside.
You're right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
No.
That's no surprise, I recognize. More accurately, you're wrong. So
I'm wrong.
What do you think the first one?
Yeah. So I think the plan fails to account for the patio seating at grade.
Yes, the plan fails to show that, but it accurately depicts what you're intending for the premises to look like.
Correct. For the description, the premises description includes the area. The plan depicts the area, but the capacity as depicted on the plan doesn't account for those 12 seats.
And anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, so this is what I would propose. I would propose we change the premise description of the second floor to, instead of saying outdoor patio, says outdoor deck. I would suggest getting an updated floor plan that accurately depicts the numbers. And as of right now, the way that it is, I would assume that the numbers would remain the same. On the first floor, a total of 45 interior with 12 outside, and then the second floor with a total interior of 33, outdoor 12, and then the ground floor, which remains unchanged, total seating capacity 166 with total proposed standing 14. And then before we send this up, we would need an updated...
A revised plan. Right.
A revised plan, please, for us and the ABC.
Understood.
Okay. So I would vote to grant with those.
Agreed. Concur.
Okay. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Application, Whole Foods Market Group Incorporated, holder of the wine and malt package store license at 340 River Street, has applied for a change of beneficial interest of said license.
Good afternoon. Please wait and spell your names for the record.
Good afternoon. Celia Markham, M-A-R-C-U-M, with McDermott, Quilty, and Miller. And to my right is Debbie Pelkey, P-E-L-K-I-E, who is the manager of record of the licensee.
Thank you. And the changes are just in terms of the directors and everything else, but the 100% beneficial interest still stays with Whole Foods Market, Inc., is that correct?
No. So there's a change to the beneficial interest. So it comes as a result of the highly public purchase of Whole Foods by Amazon.com Incorporated. So as part of that purchase, Amazon has become the ultimate beneficial interest holder of all of Whole Foods licenses, and there's six within Massachusetts, and this is one of the six.
Do you have the actual breakdown? Because the thing is, when we print the ABCC application, we don't get that. I mean, I don't know if you guys don't enter it or if it's just the system being wonky.
So in the application, we submitted the entire corporate organization chart. So it's one of the attachments. I don't know.
Okay, so Amazon.com Inc. will be the 100%.
Correct.
Okay. And then...
So there's no change except that they're going to be the beneficial interest, the ultimate beneficial interest holder.
Okay.
There's no change to management or any of the training when it comes to the retail package store license.
Okay.
That's all staying the same. So essentially, they're just the bottom level, and this is Amazon will be the entire beneficial interest holder.
And then you kept two of the directors. Basically.
Correct. So
changed two.
Mm-hmm. And actually removed Roberta Lange, L-A-N-G-E, as president, treasurer, and director. And we appointed Albert Percival, who's currently the secretary, to be president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, and director.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And no changes to the operation, correct?
Not at all.
Okay, great. Thanks. You guys
have
any questions? No. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Opposed to grant?
Granted.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Location Legal Seafoods LLC, holder of a common victualler or alcohol license at 5 Bennett Street, has applied for a change of manager from Drew Johnson to Courtney Bollinger. And should we call the second one?
Yes, please.
Application Legal Seafoods LLC, holder of a common victualler or all alcohol license at 20 University Road, has applied for a change of manager from Drew Johnson to Courtney Bollinger.
I apologize. I have to take this.
Hello.
Do you have them?
Okay.
So this involves strictly a change of manager?
Yes. Yep.
And you are Ms. Bollinger?
I am. Hi.
Have you have a history of supervising the sale and consumption of alcohol in a restaurant setting?
Yes.
What is your experience?
I've been managing restaurants since 2005. I was at Joe's American Bar and Grill for 7 years. I've been with Legal Seafood for almost 5 years.
Okay. There's no other changes?
No.
Can I get your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Donna Cruz. I'm a paralegal at Legal Seafoods.
Nice to meet you.
Finally.
Yeah.
Experience. You mentioned you do have experience with alcohol.
Yeah.
21 proof, tips, etc.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody that wishes to speak in support of this petition? Anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this petition? I vote to grant.
As to both, I assume.
As to both. As to both. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Application, Chris Mark Lewis has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license. Mr. Lewis? Second call. Application, Central Square Theater Incorporated, holder of a common victualler wine and malt license at 450 Massachusetts Avenue, has applied for a change of license type to general on-premise.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Kira Patterson, K-I-R-A-P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N.
Okay. The record will show that the chair is back.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is as a result of, we had an inspection on May 10th, mm-hmm. And there's no kitchen and you're not serving food except concession items like nuts and candy, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, correct.
Do you intend to serve food at any point?
Other than that, no.
And are you basically just operating as a theater?
Yep.
Do either of you have any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
We need the hearing fee payment.
Oh, you don't have it yet? Oh, there it is. Okay, so now it is grant.
Now we have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
a good drive, I'm not sure.
Drive it, I'm not sure. Just an encouragement.
Yep.
Application, Feeding Frenzy Incorporated, doing business as Chick Chick Boom, has applied for a new common victualler license at 80 River Street with a seating capacity of 18 and proposed hours of 11:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days per week. Jamie Chandler is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 907 square feet with seats, counter, and kitchen.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Madam Chair, my name is Attorney Kevin Crane, K-E-V-I-N-C-R-A-N-E. Office is at 104 Mount Auburn Street in Cambridge. I represent the petitioner. Name and address.
My name is Jamie Chandler, J-A-M-M-E, Chantler, C-H-A-N-T-L-E-R. And my address is...
Tell me address.
28 Greystone Road, Malden, Massachusetts.
Excellent. I have the notices of appearance.
Oh, thank you.
I want to abide by the rules and also the affidavit regarding notice.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, my client is proposing to take over space which is was previously occupied by India Spices at the corner of River Street and William Street. He has been for a number of years the operator of Thelonious Monkfish on Mass Avenue in Central Square, and I think he's somewhat familiar with the board. The capacity on this operation would stay the same at 18 seats, and the occupancy would be 28. It was proposed to be a sit-down type operation rather than based on to-go, take-out food. He hopes to have 95% sit-down and 5% maybe take-out. I did, as a result of sending the notices to the abutters, I did receive a phone call from the abutter on William Street, and she had expressed some concerns about security, particularly based on recent events in the neighborhood, I think. But anyway, my client, I put her in touch with my client, and he spoke with her, and although I don't know whether she's here or not, but there was a discussion about maybe having security cameras installed on the premises, and my client has no problem with that. Hopefully his operation will not generate people hanging around outside, which was another concern that the abutter had. And my client can expound on his conversation with her if you want.
Sure. At the same time, why don't you tell me what Chick Chick Boom will be?
It's going to be mostly chicken dishes. I think we'll also have tofu so that people who don't eat chicken could eat it. And some would be some chicken wings, but also mostly Asian dishes because that's what we know. And I spoke with the lady in the neighborhood, and we promised to put a security camera outside that would shoot down William Street because that's where someone had been shooting. And she said a bullet went into someone's condo. So if they had had security cameras at that restaurant, they would have footage of that. So she would feel better if we did that. And she also said that they had a problem with trash being put outside on the ground. And obviously we will have trash can out there. And if people still put it on the floor, we'll go out and pick it up.
Thank you.
I did submit the lease DBA certificate and a copy of a proposed menu. Mm-hmm.
And will you have background music?
I hadn't really thought of it, but probably we'd like to have maybe a CD or something.
Okay, because we can either do that now or you can do it later, but, I mean, we could consider your application with background music to a low conversation level if you'd like.
I would like
time.
To, yeah.
Okay. Other questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant with background, with an additional background music below conversational level. Thank you.
Do you want to go back to the second call before we do administrative in one day?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Administrative matters. Pizza Rev has notified the License Commission that they have ceased operations.
Board acknowledges full file and the license.
India Foods and Frozen Yogi has notified the License Commission that they have ceased operations.
Board acknowledges cancel license and close file.
Crema Cafe LLC, holder of license number PED10074, is requesting a change to their existing license to add 125 and 150 Cambridge Park Drive.
We received confirmation that they have passed the inspection. We have the letter from Cambridge Park Drive giving them permission, so I would vote to grant the additional locations to their license.
Paul Sacco, on behalf of Harnum Industries, has applied for a special noise variance for Saturday, October 7, 2017, from 7 a.m. until 9 a.m. at 4448 Brattle Street for crane work.
I see there are no issues with any of the other internal departments, so I would vote to grant. And just for the record, the start time of 7 a.m. with an end time of 9 a.m.
One-day licenses, malt and wine license, Eliza Rafferty on behalf of Catered Affair at the Harvard Art Museums, 32 Quincy Street on September 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. for a cocktail reception with 400 expected.
Granted, police detail required and alcohol must be sold or in the alternative an admission charge must be charged and a limited number of drinks associated with that charge.
Edward O'Connor has applied. Edward O'Connor has applied for a malt with entertainment license at Cambridge Side Garage Level B, 100 Cambridge Side Place, October 1st from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for the alcohol, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for entertainment, for a road race with dancing, recorded live music, and amplification system, 2,500 expected, and this has been approved by special events.
Granted, them must have a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge.
Christine DiCarlo has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at the Atrium, 100 Technology Square, October 18th from 5 to 9 p.m. for a food festival with amplification, 500 people expected.
Granted, them must have a limited number of drinks associated with the charge.
Lamplighter Brewing Company has holder of common victualer malt beverages license. Kayla Marvel has applied for a malt license to be exercised at 286 Broadway on September 23rd and 24th from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. for a beer garden for Oktoberfest, 200 expected. Frank Kramer has applied for a malt and wine license at the Garment District, 200 Broadway, on September 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. for a fundraiser with up to 150 people in attendance.
Granted, alcohol must be sold or in the alternative an admission charge has to be charged and a limited number of drinks associated with that charge.
Jeff Marcou, on behalf of Alexandria Real Estate Equities, has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at 1 Kendall Square, Lower Courtyard near Hampshire Street, on September 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. for a fall festival with recorded or live music and 100 people expected.
Granted, alcohol must be sold during the alternative admission charge must be implemented and a limited number of drinks associated with that charge.
Catherine Zuzzi, on behalf of the Cambridge Port Neighborhood Association, has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at the Riverside Boat Club, 769 Memorial Drive, on September 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. for a fundraiser with recorded or live music. 125 expected, and they're also requesting that the application fee, that the license fee be waived, and the city manager is scheduled to be at her event.
I would grant the license. There must have a limited number of drinks associated with the admission charge, otherwise they must sell the alcohol. In terms of the license fee, I would deny the request. They have a letter, you can read the letter.
Thank you. Thomas Hogan, on behalf of St. Paul Parish, has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at 29 Mount Auburn Street on September 30th from 5 to 9 p.m. for the 6th annual Oktoberfest with dancing and 100 expected. Rachel Rocco-Burton, on behalf of the New Dance Complex, malt and wine license at 536 Mass Ave on September 29th and 30th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. for a dance concert with 70 expected. And a malt and wine license on October 6th from 6 to 11 p.m. for a private event with 50 expected. And again, on October 13th and 14th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., October 15th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a dance concert with 75 expected. Father Michael Harrington has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment license at St. Anthony's Parish, 400 Cardinal Medeiros Avenue, on September 22nd from 7 to 11 p.m. for a banquet with recorded live music, amplification system, dynamic audio-visual show, live recorded, 150 expected. Jim Don Tremont, on behalf of Cocktails Bar staff, has applied for 10 alcohol licenses for class reunions as follows. October 13th, all alcohol, Harvard Museum of Natural History, 26 Oxford Street, 6:30 to 10:30, with 300 expected.
Read them all, because we have okay. One staff.
October 12th, malt and wine, Harvard Coop, 1400 Mass Ave, 6:30 to 8:30, with 214 expected. October 12th, malt and wine at Barker Center, 12 Quincy Street, from 6 to 10, with 275 expected. October 13th, all alcohol at Northwest Lab, 52 Oxford Street, 6 to 10 p.m., with 275 expected. October 13th, all alcohol at Lowell Lecture Hall, 45 Quincy Street, 9:30 to 12, with 250 people expected. October 14th, malt and wine, 52 Oxford Street, 7 to 12, with 400 expected. October 14th at Quadrangle Athletic Center, 60 Garden Street, 7 to 12 a.m., with 300 expected. October 15th, malt and wine at Dunster House, 945 Memorial Drive, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., with 200 expected. October 15th, malt and wine at Forsheimer House, 56 Linnean Street, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., with 200 expected. October 15th, malt and wine at Lever House, 28 DeWolf Street, 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m., with 260 expected. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. HUPD?
Yep, police detail required on all.
Erica Gothier, on behalf of Restaurant Associates, has applied for a malt and wine license at Novartis, 181 Mass Ave, on September 21st from 4 to 6:30 for a reception for 600.
Granted.
Erica Gothier, malt and wine license at Alexandria Real Estate, 400 Tech Square, on September 29th from 3:30 to 6 for a reception with 250 expected.
Granted. You can move faster because we skipped ahead of you.
Oh, okay. Tamale, doing business as Charlie's Kitchen, Yap Overgag, has applied for a malt and wine license at 10 Elliott Street on October 8th with a rain date of October 15th from 12 to 6 for Oktoberfest for 125.
Granted, we got police detail for that, and we also got the permit. We got the permit via email at 247 from traffic and parking.
Oh, and he also dropped one off.
Oh, okay.
Willens Brattle, doing business as Beef Brasserie, Bertil John Kronberg, holder of Common Victualler, all alcohol beverages license, has applied for a malt license at 13 Brattle on October 8th from 12 to 6 for Oktoberfest with 100 expected.
Granted.
Nicola Williams, all alcohol with entertainment license, South Plaza next to Broad Canal and Kendall Square, October 13th, with a rain date of October 20th from 6 to 9:30 for a fundraiser with dancing music amplification system for $300.
They must have a limited number of trucks associated with the church, otherwise must sell alcohol.
Peter Chang, entertainment and vendors selling t-shirts licensed to be exercised at Student Organization Center at Hills. 59 Shepherd, September 23rd from 12 p.m. to 11:59 p.m. for a dance competition with performers, entertainers, dancing, amplification system, floor, and light show for $150. Ifeoluwa Obeyan has applied for an entertainment license at Student Organization Center at Hills. 59 Shepherd, September 30th from 7:30 to 9:30 for a banquet, 12 p.m. to 2 a.m. for a party, performers, entertainers, dancing, live music, light show for $400. Bill Manley, Harvard Square Business Association, entertainment license at Harvard Square on October 8th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. for Oktoberfest with recorded and live music amplification system, $150,000 expected, approved by special events.
Granted,
David Hausman, entertainment license at MIT Main Kresge, 77 Mass Ave, October 1st from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a fundraiser and comedy event, $1,000 expected. Hannah Ross Mann, entertainment license at EF Education First, 10 North Point Boulevard, October 2nd from 12 a.m. to 1 p.m. for a groundbreaking ceremony with music amplification system, theatrical exhibition play, moving picture show, and dynamic audiovisual show live recorded. Gopal Vashistha has applied for an entertainment license at 26 Plimpton Street on September 30th from 9 to p.m. to 1 a.m. for a cultural event with dancing, music, amplification system for
$250.
Shuck Truck LLC has applied for a vendor's permit to be at Central Flea, 95 Prospect Street, September 24th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. to sell food. Morrow Aarons has applied for a one-day wine license at 45 Prospect Street on October 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. for a networking event. And you should have all the late submissions. Jubin Hatamzada, the wine and malt license on behalf of French Tech Hub at WeWork, 625 Mass Ave on September 26th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. with 130 expected.
Granted, must have a limited number of drinks associated with admission charge, otherwise must sell alcohol.
Streets LLC, doing business at night as Night Market. 75 Winthrop Street has applied for a one-day extension to their existing license on October 4th, 2017 to extend their closing hour until midnight for a private party. They currently close at 11.
Granted.
Entertainment application, Veronica Santana, September 23rd at 84 Mass Ave from 8 to 10 p.m. for a comedy show with $1,000 expected. Wine and malt license, Ashley Hopper, Graduate Commons Program, 10 Akron Street on October 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. for a beer tasting with 60 expected. And the last ones are associated with that group of 12 or 10 applications. They had neglected to apply for the entertainment. So it's all Harvard Alumni Association, Sienna Lease, October 13th from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Lowell Lecture Hall, 17 Kirkland Street, with 260 expected, and October 14th from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. at 66 Garden Street, with 295 expected.
Granted, as well,
Sir Officer Gino Rene, October 13th, from 6:30 to 10:30, 52 Oxford Street, 250 expected. Kaylee Walsh, October 14th, from 6:30 p.m. to 12 a.m., 52 Oxford Street, with 425 expected. And second call. Brightview Landscape Services. Andrea?
Second call being at 3:51 p.m. Sorry, if you could please come up as well, that would be great. Thank you.
You swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes. Thank you. Good afternoon. Please state and spell your names for the record.
Andrea Boyer, BOYER, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Sam Nijame, S-A-M-N-E-J-A-M-E.
I'm sorry, could you spell your last name again?
Sure. N-E-J-A, M as in Mary, E.
E?
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, we're here because Brightview Landscaping, there's two complaints. One was on August 17th, 2017, at 11:40 a.m. at 21 Chauncey Street. Allegedly, there was one leaf blower being used. The complainant is sitting to my left, Sam Najamian. And the second complaint made was at 16 Chauncey Street by Brightview again on September 7th, 2017, at approximately 9:55 a.m. Again, one leaf blower being used at that time. Brightview Landscaping does have a past history where they had two hearings held already. There were two violations found on both payments are now past due. And previously to that, there's a warning letter that was sent to be properly permitted in November of 2016.
Good afternoon, sir. Did you observe both violations or just the one for 21 Chauncey?
I observed all four.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us a little bit about what you observed on August 17th and then on September 7th?
I heard noise. I went to the location, saw a truck with Brightview on the side with a phone number, asked them to stop. They whined. It was a very similar experience on September 7th.
And did the person that you approached was the person using the leaf blower?
That's correct.
On both times?
Yes.
And did they confirm that they were Brightview Landscape employees?
I did not ask them that.
How did you know that they were employees of Brightview?
Because the truck was out front, and they were wearing reflective or bright clothing.
Did you observe them go to the truck at any point?
No, at previous times I have.
You recognize them from the previous times?
I would not say that. It's not like I've tried to memorize faces or take photographs. But I can next time if you'd like.
No, I'm just trying to make sure that we have a very clear record as to whether or not the people that you observe were Brightview employees. I mean, at this point, with this kind of record, I would pull their permit. But I want to make sure that it's Brightview employees who you observe.
Yeah, it's pretty much 100%.
Questions? Ms. Boyer, have you heard from Brightview at all?
No, I did send them the notification letter with the, when it was, what's the micro... Outlook, read receipt, and it came back that it was opened and read. Thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
For whatever it's worth, I did call Chestnut Hill Realty, who was employing these people, and they acknowledged that they were employing Brightview, that they had received notice of prior transgressions and of these meetings. So.
I would vote for a violation on both days. I would issue a $300 fine on both days, and I would also pull their permit through the end of the year.
I concur as well.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Minutes?
The taxi driver. Give it a second call.
Oh, sorry. Second call.
Chris Mark Lewis. 356. Second call. No show. No action.
Did you all have an opportunity to review the minutes from October 9th and 16th?
I did.
I did as well. I vote to approve.
I agree.
That is it for today. Thank you.
Can you speak low, such as during the conversation about the fee waiver? Can the audio pick that up?
I'm sorry, what?
When you speak low, like during the conversation about the fee waiver, does the audio pick that up? Does that get recorded?
What fee waiver?
You had a conversation earlier about companies seeking a fee waiver. During that conversation, some of the conversation was very slow. I'm just curious whether the audio picks that up.
We'll figure it out after we hear the audio. I apologize if you don't hear it next time. Just bring it to our attention so we can raise our voice. Thank you.